Previously on Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And now, whether you like it or not, Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear, each week bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Hey, Cliff!
Oh, hey, hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey. It's all for horses. It's for horses.
What?
It's for horses.
You're fired, Kendall. You're over.
Oh.
You are fired.
Way
over.
Way to segue into this show, Cliff. Way to meander your big, enormous body into the show title.
Like Steve Wozniak, I love a good segue.
I love falling off a good segue.
Anybody get that joke out there?
I've fallen off a segue. Oh, Cliff, so today we are talking about being fired. F is for
fired. I thought
fired.
You were going to say we're talking about being fat. And I thought, oh, I've got a lot to say about that.
I thought that you thought that I was going to say that we're talking about being fat.
Fucked?
Yeah.
No, no. Kendall, we are two things. We are fat and we are already fucked. So.
Oh. Now, Cliff, did you know?
Probably.
No, that's not what I was going to say. Did you know?
I know that.
You make us well aware of that every week. Did you know that experts estimate that at least 250,000 workers are illegally or unjustly fired each year? And that's not counting the people that are justifiably terminated. That is a lot of firing that happens every year.
That's a lot of effing going on. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness, Cliff. So,
we're
going to talk about ways that people can, you know, rebound from being fired.
Kendall, have you ever been fired?
No. I have been asked very repeatedly not to leave a job when I had to leave.
Really?
I was unfired. That I was so not fired that I was unfired. I became so dead that I was alive.
Well, probably a lot of the audience hates you now because you're because if you're gloating,
join the club.
But I will give them something to identify with. I've never been fired either, but I did have a job that I quit, and I asked if I could come back, and they said no.
Oh, they said no.
They said no, like when that one person asked the other person to clean out the refrigerator, and they said no. They said no, you cannot come back, Cliff. You were a terrible employee.
That's effed up, Cliff.
It was effed up.
You were
effed. But I took the high road. I was classy about the whole thing.
Well, more on that later. But here's what people can do if they do get fired, Cliff. The number one rule is to do not dwell on it.
Don't dwell on it.
Don't. Focus on what you're going to do next and how you're going to find another job. That's very important to not get depressed, you know?
Drink a lot. Do drugs.
Drink a lot. Join the Cliff and Kendall party. Drink a lot. What are some other ways, Cliff? What are some other things people can do?
Well, what I think... Oh, God! They can do that.
Not in an interview, though. Don't do that in an interview. You might
maybe
not get
that's
a job.
Why I didn't... maybe that's why I've been turned
down
so often.
That's why you were fired. Or maybe that's why you weren't asked back. You would sit at your desk and go... all day.
Maybe. That's a possibility. Now, if you do get an interview for another job... Mm-hmm. Here, I've got some pointers.
Practice
for the fired person, what they can do. First of all, you want to be honest about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be honest. Remember, think of yourself as Abe Lincoln. If it helps to go and pretend to be born in a log cabin.
Well, because inevitably you're going to get caught.
If you lie. Are going to get caught if you lie. And what you need to do,
I was just going to say, I think you should be right away, just say right up front that you were fired. And so that way, you know, you'll get it behind you and you can, it'll be less painful.
Well, Joyce Lane Kennedy wrote in Job Interviews for Dummies, she said, keep it brief, keep it honest, and keep it moving.
I say keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple, you big dumb asshole, is what I say. But now what you need to do, you need to keep it brief and just say I was fired and say that you learned a lesson and explain how you benefited from the experience. And just, you can make that part up.
That's a good idea, Claire.
If you didn't learn any lessons, just lie and say, I learned such a big
lesson.
Even
though your tip before was don't lie. That's a little white lie.
Kendall, I am like the Bible in a lot of ways.
You're enormous.
I'm enormous.
And people can hardly get through you.
People can't get through me. Ooh. A lot of people don't understand me. People have big fights and wars about me. And I am sometimes contradictory.
Ouch. Take that, Hope. Take it and shove it up your holy stick. Did I say that? Go on.
Shove it up your holy stick. That's a new one.
Move on with being fired.
Well, but anyway, if you get fired, you want to, you know, tell lie and say that you learned a lesson, and you want to practice saying that, so you can respond confidently and without hesitation. And one thing you don't want to do, Kendall, that I have had to stop myself from doing before, is in a job interview, whether you've been fired or not, you don't want to insult your former boss or employer.
I have the same note here. Do not do it, Cliff. I know that that is something that you have a lot of trouble with, probably.
Not insulting people?
Right. And
sometimes I go into an interview and I have to stop myself from insulting the person who's interviewing me.
And as hard as it may be, because it is hard, you need to get over the fact that you were fired to move on, and you need to be able to convince your future employer that you're interviewing with, regardless of what happened in the past, that you are a strong candidate for the job, and you focus on the skills and experience you have rather than the firing.
Kendall, that was a right pretty speech.
That was. I'm always saying smart speeches to smart people.
You are always doing that. And one thing, that the last tip, if you think you might not get the job, but you want to really clinch it with the interviewer.
Ooh, clinch it.
Blow them. And that's no joke. It's no joke, Kendall.
No joke, but this is... Hey, Cliff.
Hey!
It's time for some effed up bad jokes.
F!
This is the first time I could say effed on the show, and you don't say, God, can you be so prude?
God, you're being so prude.
Okay. I'm choking. A football
coach. You
are choking.
On that set, you got some sass
I was
stuck in your throat.
Choking on some sass. Now, Cliff, a football coach walked into the locker room before the game. This is a football joke. I love this joke.
So long as we're in a locker room with naked football players.
Cliff, this joke has something for both of us. All right. So a football coach walked into the locker room before the game, looked over to the star player, and said, I'm not supposed to let you play since you failed math. But we need you in there, so what I have to do is ask you a math question, and if you get it right, you can play. So the player, he agreed, and so the coach looked him in the eyes intently and said, okay, now concentrate hard and tell me the answer to this. What is 2 + 2?
Uh-huh.
And the player, he thought for a minute, Cliff, and he answered 4. And the coach said, did you say 4? And excited that he had got it right, you know, suddenly all the other players on the team began screaming, come on, coach, give him another chance. Because they are dumb football players. They are going to get fired at their
jobs. Kendall, do you think we have any football players that listen to this show?
Mm-mm.
I don't think so either.
I don't think football players would come near this show.
If you are a football player listening right now, why don't you email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com.
We'd love to know about it.
Set us
straight. Love football.
And Kendall loves football, everybody, and I love naked men. Now, Kendall, speaking of me, there are two gay guys driving down the street.
Uh-huh.
And they see a dog on the side of the road licking his wang.
I'm worried about this one. Uh-huh.
I sure wish I could do that, said one of the gay guys, to which the other replied, don't you think you ought to pet him first?
Ooh.
Can you believe that?
Bestiality. Well, speaking of you, Cliff.
Uh-huh.
A drunken man was wandering around the parking lot of a bar, bumping into, then rubbing the roofs of the cars. The manager, he comes out of the bar and stops the guy. He says, what the heck are you doing? And he says, I'm looking for my car and I can't find it. And he says, well, how does feeling the roof of the car help you? And he says, well, my car has two blue lights and a siren on the roof. Ouch.
Kendall, they took my life, my cards, and my card. But on Monday, I'm taking it all back.
Take it all back.
Oh,
enough
my
about
God.
Inside jokes. Let's get back to the jokes for everybody.
Here's an outside joke for you, Kendall. Mm-hmm. This one is for you, and it's long, so I'm going to try to go through it quick, so don't interrupt me.
It is about me if it's long.
Oh, God.
Oh!
Blorch.
Oh, I don't know where that cow came from. That was an accident. A Freudian slip.
Deep and wide. Okay.
Ooh.
All right, Kendall. Sam and John were out cutting wood, and John cut his arm off. Sam wrapped the arm in a plastic bag and took it and John to a surgeon. The surgeon said, you are in luck. I'm an expert at reattaching limbs. Come back in 4 hours. So Sam came back in 4 hours later, and the surgeon said, I got done faster than I expected to. John is down at the local pub. So Sam went to the pub and saw John throwing darts right as rain. A few weeks later, Kendall, Sam and John were outside again. Remember I said this was an outside joke.
And John cut
his leg off.
Oh, my God.
And Sam put the leg in a plastic bag and took it and John back to the surgeon. The surgeon said, legs are a little tougher. Come back in 6 hours. And so Sam returned in 6 hours, and the surgeon said, I finished early. John's down at the soccer field kicking soccer balls. And so Sam went to the soccer field, and there was John kicking goals. Alan would like that because he loves soccer.
Soccer.
Remember frequent guest star Alan, everybody?
And I love football.
And I love naked men in the locker room. A few weeks later, Kendall, don't interrupt me. John had a terrible accident and cut his head off.
Oh, my God.
Sam put the head in a plastic bag and took it and the rest of John to the surgeon. The surgeon said, gee, heads are really tough. Come back in 12 hours. So Sam returned in 12 hours, and the surgeon said, I'm sorry, John died.
Oh, no.
And Sam said, I understand. Heads are tough. And the surgeon said, oh, no. The surgery went fine. John just suffocated in that plastic bag. Kendall, that was for you because it was appropriate for all ages.
I'm so glad. I thought there was a penis being cut off.
I knew that you thought that, but it wasn't. That one, everybody, you can tell that to your kids at home.
I thought I was going to say, well, penises are a little tougher, so it's going to take 16 hours, but then he went down to the local pub and he was having sex with a prostitute.
And he was banging a whore underneath the boardwalk in Atlantic City.
An elderly man goes into confession, and he's sand all over his balls. An elderly man goes into confession and says to the priest, Father, I'm 80 years old. I'm married. I have 4 kids and 11 grandchildren. I started taking this new Viagra pill, and last night I had an affair and made love to 2 18-year-old girls, both of them twice.
Oh!
And the priest, he says, well, my son, what? When was the last time you were in confession? And he says, never, Father, I'm Jewish. And the priest said, well, then why are you telling me? And the old man says, well, because I'm telling everybody. What a filthy whore.
Kendall, they took my life, my cards, and my car.
But tomorrow I'm going to bang 2 18-year-old girls twice.
And they're not going to take the rest of my jokes. Kendall, speaking of young children, they may want to leave the room.
Oh, good.
A 12-year-old boy gets hit by a car at a busy intersection.
A woman
witnesses the entire event and runs over to the little boy who's lying on the ground in a pool of blood. She gently cradles
the boy's head
in her arm and whispers, do you need a priest? And the boy moans, how can you think of sex at a time like this?
Take that, Pope.
That one's for the Pope and his, what you call it, his holy stick.
And his holy stick. Shove it up your holy stick.
Or
use your holy stick to shove it up somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, now Cliff, one evening, a family brings their frail, elderly mother to a nursing home and leaves her, hoping that she will be well cared for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next morning, the nurse bathes her, feeds her a tasty breakfast, and sets her in a chair at the window overlooking this lovely flower garden.
Oh, no.
And she seems fine, but after a little while, she slowly starts to lean over sideways in her chair. Now, two attentive nurses immediately rush up to catch her and straighten her up. Again, she seems fine, but after a while, she starts to tilt to the other side, and the nurse rushes up and once again puts her back upright. This goes on all morning, Cliff.
Oh.
So later, the family comes to see how the old woman is adjusting to her new home and says, so, Ma, how is it here? Are they treating you right? And the woman says, well, it's pretty nice, except they won't let you fart.
Oh.
That old lady was just trying to fart, Cliff.
Kendall, the old people need to fart, too.
I know. You got any more jokes?
I do.
No.
Okay. Mm. Kendall, a man walks into a gas station and says, can I please have a Kit Kat Chunky? And the lady behind the cash register, she gets him a Kit Kat Chunky and brings it back to him. No, says the man. I wanted a regular Kit Kat, you fat bitch.
Oh!
And Kendall, the last thing I have to say is that this is a personal anecdote. You know how sometimes I tell anecdotes during the jokes? And,
jokes are eternal.
Kendall, I threw a bukkake party, but it was a disaster. Nobody came.
Oh. So that's all the time we have for bad jokes. What is a Kit Kat Chunky, by the way?
I don't know, you fat bitch. I need to take a break.
Oh, me too. We'll be right back after this.
Don't touch that dial. There's more sass on the way. Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Do you often say to yourself, I've got all this stupid jewelry that my idiot relatives left to me, and I want it out of my face? Well, if so, let me introduce you to CliffandKendallForGold.com. Just send us your jewelry, silverware, or other shiny metals in a self-sealing envelope. And in 6 to 8 weeks, you'll receive something worth more than gold. A compact disc filled with a randomly chosen episode of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. You could receive Tea Party in the USA, Clean Week, or even Cliff and Kendall on a plane. Just for sending us your old wedding ring, tennis bracelets, or teeth. Visit CliffandKendallForGold.com to find out details on how you can get started today.
Let's rejoin our regularly scheduled Fatcast, podcast.
All right, Cliff, we're back.
Oh, we're back, Kendall. Can you believe how back we are?
How back are we? Now, Cliff, we asked a question on Facebook.
Of course we did. What are we, lamos?
No. And the question was, have you ever been fired? And if so, how did you handle it? So here's what some people had to say about it. Now, Brent.
Weirdo. Brent White. Okay.
Said, I whack it real good. Then when the police arrive to escort me off the premises, I shall say a gentleman has been wrong today. Weirdo. Peter says, well, how I handled it. I could say I started screaming insanely, kicked my boss's ass, knocked over the concession stand in the lobby, yanked all the plants out of the pots, and finally helped the telephone to phone heaven. Actually, I just said, you are a fool if you think you'll get the same amount of profit every day if you fire me. It was a major pickup when 6 months after that, I saw a sign on the door, out of business.
Ouch. Ooh.
And that now, isn't he from the Netherlands? We have a Netherlander listening.
I didn't know we had such a fan base in the Netherlands. But we are
international. International.
We do, well, Kendall.
Greetings
we do,
from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Cindy Chang said, I was fired once as a college intern. It took my boss weeks to realize I had nothing to do, and when he finally figured it out, he paid me for that week's work, told me I wasn't needed anymore, and I went straight to the mall. I remember thinking, I just got fired and I'm shopping. Okay. To this day, I have no idea what the company did. Well, remember when we worked for college, we were janitors.
We were janitors, and I was telling somebody last night about the big poop cement thing on the back of the... Remember that?
Let's not talk about poop.
We won't talk about poop.
Nicole said, never been fired because I'm a model employee. Actually, it's because I'm a bookkeeper and everyone I've worked for has known that if they fire me, I could screw them harder than a Thai hooker. Oh, ouch.
That's hard.
That's pretty hard.
That's hard. So hard.
And we had a couple people call in. And here are those messages.
Hi, Cliff and Kendall. This is Josephine DeBose Armstrong. and I was calling about the have you ever been fired, and I have been fired. I got fired from Walmart, third shift cashiering, because I was so tired from working my day job that I would fall asleep on the register, and my head would be laying on the register, and people would come to check out, and they have to wake me up. And the manager saw that a couple times. I tried all the Snickers bars and Mountain Dew that I could get out of the vending machines back there, my meager paycheck, and still couldn't keep awake. So they had a meeting with me, so, you know, what's going on? I said, well, I'm working too much, and I maybe need to go to part-time. And they said, well, your needs may have changed, but ours haven't.
Ouch.
So they let me go. Ooh. So there's that. I don't know what you think about it, but that'd be good to hear. So thanks. Bye.
It is good to hear. That's just wrong of Walmart.
Well, I don't want to go ahead and share my quote for the week, but Josephine, if you're listening, listen to for my quote at the end of the show.
Hold on to the end.
It's not Ooh, that. But
no,
it,
that's
it,
not the quote.
It applies to your situation nonetheless.
And we have one other caller here. Let me go ahead and play this.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Carl, and I'm a landscape architect. I know y'all don't need a new co-host, and that was a pretty good April Fool, but I thought I'd call in and let you know that if you ever did need a new co-host, your biggest fan, Ben in Seattle, would be a good option. He's a barrel of sassitude, and he's gayer than a bathhouse towel boy. Best of luck, guys.
Well, thank you very much for that call.
Oh, I'm so glad. We don't need a new co-host, but if we ever did, Kendall,
we know where to find one. All righty, Cliff. Well,
all righty, Kendall.
We have a special guest.
We do have a special guest. We have Lottie Moon here in the studio with us. She is an occupational terminologist. Welcome, Lottie, to the show.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Hello, Lottie.
I'm good. How are you, Kendall?
I'm wonderful right now, but we're going to do a mock firing, and I might not be so good afterwards. So we're going to have a mock firing to illustrate what you should and should not do when being fired, right?
Our first scenario is going to be what not to do.
And I think we know who's going to do that role.
Yeah, me. I'm going to step outside my comfort zone, and
Ooh,
I'm going to...
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take it away.
So, all right, Lottie.
Okay, Cliff, if you will, please come into my office. I need to speak with you.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hi. Have a seat.
Okay.
We need to have a discussion about what's been going on lately as far as, you know, the company, we're not making enough money and we're having to cut costs. And so we were evaluating some of our employees and the good that they do and maybe the expense that they are and when we discussed you and how often you visit the vending machines, we decided that maybe you visit them too much and you've used so much out of the vending machines that nobody else can go down there on their breaks and get anything because there's nothing left. And so to be fair to everyone else and to save a little money, we've decided to, because probably too, it costs electricity as much as you've used that vending machine. We're going to have to let you go.
Okay. Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
You stupid bitch! Why don't you kiss me? Fat ass! I'm gonna punch your face through the vending machine.
Cliff.
Then I'm gonna eat your face. Then
if
I'm
you
gonna
just, if you would just,
out.
If you would just calm down.
And then how did you?
I mean, if you would calm down, we may be able to work something out. I mean,
okay, that's
you
we're gonna.
It, you do not want it to escalate to the point where.
That's you don't want to escalate.
I was uncomfortable during that, Cliff. I was very uncomfortable. That was hard.
Were you
to watch.
What made you uncomfortable about that?
Well,
Kendall?
Your attitude was what made me uncomfortable, and your obesity too.
Okay, well, that's understandable, Kendall.
Of course it is. So it's my turn now, right? And I'm gonna illustrate the proper way to be fired and how to handle it correctly.
Yes.
All right, let's go.
Hi, Kendall. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. If you don't mind, could you please step into my office?
Oh, of course. All right.
Well, Kendall, you know, this is your 1 year anniversary with the company, and I was discussing with some of my constituents your job and how you've been doing and your performance, and everything seems to be okay except a little OCD, just a little, but it is a problem so much that, you know, when you're cleaning the counter so often, you're using a lot of paper towels, and you're really, we're going to probably end up having to buy new countertops.
Oh, so, well, I just thought I was helping the company, that's all.
Yeah, you know, and that people maybe don't get sticky things on their hands when they touch the counters, but really, with the expensive paper towels and the new countertops, what we're spending for that, the benefit that you've had for us has not been, you know, greater than that. So we're going to have to let you go.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that's too bad. Do you have a severance package or some way of me, you know, extending my use of the company to help me further my career and get a new job somehow?
No, I'm sorry. We don't.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for your loyalty over the past year, and hopefully we can, you know, I can find something better to move on, and you can find someone that doesn't ruin your countertops.
You know what? And I'll tell you what, we'll keep you in mind, maybe for contract work in the future. Thank you so much for being so polite about this and so understanding.
Oh, well, no
maybe,
problem. That's just
you know, if we need somebody to vac to do some janitorial work on a contract basis, we'll get in touch with you.
I would love to. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What a pussy bitch you are, Kendall.
Well, I was just wanting to do the opposite extreme, you know.
That was an extreme.
Probably somewhere in the middle might be better for somebody to do.
A pussy bitch. So we want to thank Lottie Moon, the occupational terminologist, for joining us
thank
on the
you,
show
Lottie
today.
Moon. Thank you, Lottie Moon. Thank you so much.
We hope to have you
thank
back
you
again
guys.
Soon.
Sure.
All right, Cliff. Well, that was very fun. That was fun exercise.
I think it was informative is more what
that's,
it was.
That's the closest to exercise you've come in so many months. Ooh, the truth hurts. Anyway.
Ouch.
I hear the trolley coming. It must be time to go to Busheltown, Cliff.
Oh, Kendall, I need a vacation in Busheltown after being fired.
Oh, me too. Trolley, have you ever been fired from a job?
Oh.
Ooh. How did you handle it? That's very smart of you. That's
prudent.
See, the trolley did what I did. It took the high road, Cliff.
The trolley took the express lane to Pussyville.
Oh, let's go to Busheltown, Cliff.
Okay.
Today's Busheltown journey is called F for Fired, and you're effed. We begin in the teacher's lounge of Busheltown Community College. Professor Floyd Flort is having coffee with his colleagues, Professor Honeystew.
You know what I'm talking about, Honeystew. These kids coming up today, they don't care nothing for the classics. They are all majoring in Rye Business or Rye Communications, and they care only for money.
I do believe you are correct in that assumption. My students just keep telling me about what they do on that thing they all like. What do you call it?
Their bicycles?
No.
Their memo pads?
No, that box with the things inside.
Oh, their typing machines.
That's it. Their typing machines is going to be the death of you and me, I tell you what.
I'm about to believe you.
Well, Flort, you better mark my words. Our profession's days is numbered. Later that day in Algebra 2 class, Professor Flort began his unit on rational numbers, just as he always had, by reading a poem.
Lo, death has reared himself a throne in a strange city lying alone. Far down within the dim west, where the good and the bad and the worst and the best have gone to their eternal rest. Their shrines and palaces and towers.
Excuse me, Mr. Flort, what does this poem have to do with Algebra 2?
Well, if you'd have let me finish.
Okay, go on.
No, I'm out of the mood. You know what? I'm out of the mood for this whole class.
You mean we can leave?
Absolutely not. I am in the mood for an experiment. How many of you know what this thing I'm holding up is? Anybody? Nobody?
Is it a toy?
A toy? Why, this is a counting machine used by the learned since ancient times. In the great times of humanity, like ancient Greece and Rome, this is an abacus. And it's done more for humanity than any of you pinheads ever will.
It looks like a toy at the dentist's office.
It's better than any of them darn typing machines y'all got. It'll do everything they can and more.
Ugh, I doubt it.
You doubting what your professor been telling you, boy?
I highly doubt that that thing can do what my computer or even my cell phone could do.
Oh, yeah? Watch this. I just counted to 50.
Well, watch this. I just downloaded the number one song in Busheltown and set it as my ringtone.
Music. Let me play you some music. You Nimrods may not know it, but this is called a record, and it plays high quality soundage.
That sounds totally flawed.
All you students think you're so hot.
Why do you keep talking like there's other people in the room? I'm the only one who showed up for this busted class today.
All kids today are truants who don't appreciate the classics or the arts or nothing.
I have got to text my best friend Alex about this. It can't wait until the stoplight party tomorrow night.
What's that?
Dude, wake up. It's a stoplight party. You wear red if you're taken, green if you're single, and yellow if it's complicated.
I meant text. I've been going to stoplight parties for years.
Dude, Alex just texted back that you should get a life.
Oh, he did he? Well, he should get this.
Oh, what are you doing with my phone?
What should have been done to it a long time ago. Now text Alex about Algebra 2 class and tell him to do problems 1 through 12 on page 304. That'll be due on Thursday. Professor Flort is out of here!
Later that day, Professor Flort showed up in Dean Flambeau's office at his urgent request.
I guess you know why I've asked you here.
I'm hoping it's about that raise I've been hankering for. Or maybe you want me to perform a lute solo at the Faculty Follies.
I'm afraid it's not that pleasant.
Oh. Look, I knowed it was my turn to clean the coffee pot, but the rye buildup was just like trying to scrape off cement.
It's not about the coffee pot, but that does explain a lot.
No, I'm afraid it's come to light that you defecated on a student's cellular phone this morning in class.
What?
Is this true?
Yeah, but show me in the handbook where it says you can't. At no time should a professor defecate on a student's portable communication device. See also rules regarding urination. Well done!
Professor Flort, I'm afraid I'm going to have to let you go.
But I was just 21 years away from retirement.
Well, that's what makes this all the more difficult. Do you have any parting words?
Why, yes, sir, I do. Resignedly beneath the sky, the melancholy waters lie. So blend the turrets and shadows there, that all seem pendulous in the air, while from a proud tower in the town, death looks gigantically down.
Anything else?
Can I keep the abacus?
No, we'll be holding on to that.
Somebody know, somebody show, somebody hold my hand. Somebody say, oh, what's today? Somebody go away.
That's all for this week's Journey to Busheltown. Now back to you, Cliff and Kendall. Oh, well, Cliff, that was quite a journey to Busheltown.
What a journey.
If Flort had cleaned out the coffee pot, things might have been a lot different.
You never know if one tiny thing in your life, it might change the road for everybody.
It might change the road. Well, it's awful sad about him being fired, Cliff.
It's sad really when anybody gets fired.
It is. And so is his sad music, Cliff.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's just sad.
Oh.
Listeners, if you've been fired and you're looking for a job, we might have one for you here at Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. Who knows? So, check us out, cliffandkendall.com, cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, twitter.com/cliffandkendall, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, or call us at 818-308-4328. Call us.
Why don't you call? Oh, God!
We won't say that. It'll be a recording, I swear.
I think we might ought to add that onto our outgoing message.
Thanks for calling Cliff and Kendall.
I think that's the only way to go. Kendall, I have a quote. Do you have a quote?
I do. Why don't you do it first?
All right, Josephine, this one's for you. Getting fired is nature's way of telling you that you had the wrong job in the first place.
Well, you stole my quote. That was Hal Lancaster.
From the Wall Street Journal. I knew that I would. I knew that I would steal it. And
can't believe it, dude. Take us home.
Take me home, fired roads, to a place where I can have another job. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
We love you, and your job as a listener is secure.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Cliff and Kendall will be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. And for more sass, visit cliffandkendall.com.